So I wanted to talk about some of the work we're doing with looking at litter decomposition and the role of manganese cycling there, and how fungi are can mediate those that manganese cycling and the litter decomposition. So we know that fungi are a primary agent of litter decomposition, kind of kickstarting that process of decomposition, breaking down cellular walls, and then that's leading, of course, to CO2 production. And we also know that manganese is important in that process. And basically, it's a control on decomposition, total manganese is, and also we see manganese 3 being an important component to that. So basically, what that breaks down to is that the more manganese there are in the leaf litter that we see in forests, that will get more decomposition in those conditions. And so kind of the conceptual model we're getting at is that at redox transitions, we can see the manganese cycling, and that's where we expect to see more decomposition. So we have an oxygen profile here and a suboxic zone where oxygen's going away, and manganese is being produced deeper in the soils through reductive dissolution. So we have manganese 2 and oxygen and fungi present, turning over that manganese, making soluble manganese 3 species that are able to break down and solubilize particulate organic carbon, kind of kickstarting that process, producing more DOC and leading to more mineralization. So the kind of the areas we're looking at is the role of the fungi in mediating this process. And so this first thing we'll look at is the role of the cycling of manganese in this suboxic zone across this redox transition, and then fungi, the role they have there, and then finally we'll look a little bit at the carbon that's being produced, the amount of carbon, and the oxidation state. So our approach to that is we're using soil reactors, and we pack these with a combination of mineral soil and that fresh lit year's leaf litter from forest floor. Pack those in the reactors, and then we're able to incubate those with a static water table, creating a transition zone from oxic, suboxic to anoxic conditions. And then we're able to incubate those for about 4 weeks, allow just the natural fungi that are present in the leaf litter to colonize those, and then we can use electrochemical profiling to establish where the redox gradient is, and then section those, bulk section those oxic, suboxic, and anoxic zones for extractions, bulk extractions, and then we'll do some X-ray spectroscopy on those as well. Okay, so the first objective is to look at that manganese cycling that I mentioned before. We want to quantify that at the interface. And so the first step is electrochemical profiling and using mercury gold amalgam microelectrodes. Can do a profile here at 0.5 millimeter increments. We can get oxygen, manganese, and iron 2 concentrations using a combination of linear sweep and square wave voltammetry. And within the first 3 millimeters, we see oxygen being consumed, and we have a zone of manganese reduction that overlaps with the oxygen, right in the upper region, and that's well above the zone where we see iron reduction taking place, down around 6 millimeters in this case. So that kind of gives us our zones, kind of sets up the redox transition of where we are with these, and then we can section these for bulk analysis in those 3 zones. So when you look at the bulk manganese, where is the manganese located? We get We have extractable manganese, either in soluble, amorphous, or crystalline forms. And you see, most of that is in that crystalline form, or that, sorry, the amorphous form, kind of lightly bound solids. And then in each extraction, we see the suboxic zone has the highest amount of manganese present in those. So we see a concentration of manganese in the suboxic zone. And then we take some of that material to the synchrotron and do manganese spectroscopy zanes on that. And we see a subtle shift, right? And so we see higher energies in that red suboxic zone. Then that subtle shift is indicative of manganese oxidation, higher oxidation states. Right. So with these bulk measurements, we can kind of see what's going on, but it's that, especially that oxidation is a little subtle, so we'd like to look at a micro scale. And the next step, and so we have thin sections. So I made thin sections of these across that redox gradient. So this is a microscope image from the top, the oxic, through the suboxic, and anoxic zones. And then we're able to do X-ray fluorescence mapping of where the manganese is located. So we have three of those going across the suboxic zone, A, B, and C. And we see that we have higher manganese in the suboxic zone. And so it seems to be associated with these darker zones, looks like black precipitates right across that zone. Okay, and if we look into the manganese zanes again of that, when we're looking at the micro scale instead of the bulk, we see we're able to pick those dark spots out and see mixed valence, higher oxidation state manganese associated with at those zones, as well as some with manganese two as well. So we still see what it looks like right there at that transition, and we get an accumulation of manganese, and we're getting redox cycling. So we're moving through those cycles. So the question is then, are the fungi there, and what are they facilitating this process? And so we could assess the fungal, or we could access it, either way. You know, it's autocorrect, it says it's right, so it must be. So we look at that, and we can look at an optical image, and we can actually see fungal hyphae in the suboxic zone. So they're established there. And additionally, we can look at enzyme analysis. It shows us kind of coarsely that there is more oxidative potential in the suboxic zone as well. And so they're there, and they appear to be active. And really the next steps where we want to go with this is we have samples for DNA sequencing to kind of see what actually is there, and as well as proteomics and metabolomics, so we see what they're up to, who's there and what they're up to, kind of the next steps along the way. But this suggests that we definitely see that that fungi are there, and they seem to be releasing oxidative enzymes. Okay, now third objective we wanted to kind of get at with this was the carbon side, right? So we have the manganese, and we have the fungi, and now we want to see how the carbon's being affected by that. Looking at solubilization of the particulate matter, as well as then oxidation. And so we'll go back to those bulk extracts where we sampled across the reactors, and from the oxic to anoxic zones, we see the suboxic, we see the most solubilization, total organic carbon, water extractable here, in that suboxic zone. So it looks like that's what we're seeing, and we were able to take some of these samples for carbon NexSAS at CLS, Canadian Light Source, and with that, in the red zone, you see a decrease here in the aromatic fractions and increase in the carboxyl groups, suggestive of solubilization and oxidation. So again, we'll go from the bulk to the micro scale, looking at our thin section again. And this time we're looking at the carbon NexSAS as well. And if we look at first up here at the top, we are in kind of the oxic zone, less altered background control litter. And then in the suboxic zone, we have areas where We have the black dark precipitates and then lighter precipitates as well. And as we go from the oxic zone to the light precipitates, the dark precipitates, we see the similar change in the carbon excess, where we have a decrease in the aromatic and phenolic and aliphatic groups, an increase then at the same time, so the darker peaks are higher here for the carboxyl. And so again, we're looking at decomposition and oxidation of that organic matter in the suboxic zone. Okay, I think it went pretty fast here. That's good. So the suboxic zone is where we see the manganese cycling, and we see the fungi there are present, and the oxidative enzymes are active there. And then we see increased solubilization of the carbon, as well as looks like oxidation of that carbon as well. And this points to an ecological niche where fungi are facilitating that carbon solubilization and kickstarting that mineralization process. So the kind of the next steps we're looking at are, I mentioned the DNA sequencing and proteomics are kind of improvements on our manganese 3, actually getting more soluble manganese 3 quantification. Okay, and with that, I'd just like to thank everybody at UMass Amherst, especially our REU students. We had two summer students working on this project, and they did really great work. And Harvard Forest is where this work, as well as synchrotron help that we received. Okay, thanks. Yeah.
You were talking about genetic proteins and proteomics. Did you consider just, you know, culturing from that particular layer and seeing what sort of fungi are there?
Yeah, we've played around with culturing a little bit. Not picking out from these reactors, but trying to culture what in the, from the field samples, what was there. And there's a real mess of a lot of different stuff.
There were techniques to try to get the fungi particularly
Yeah, and so we tried some plates looking at who was oxidizing manganese, we saw some activity, and kind of that's really another area we'd like to explore more of. Yeah.
So, is the manganese mobilized to the suboxic zone?
It appears to be
higher, but I assume you started with everything's the same.
Right. Yeah. And the manganese, I didn't really mention this, but manganese is it's from originally from the leaf litter,
right.
And it seems to be accumulating,
in that
suboxic zone.
Do the fungi transport it?
I don't know if it's just solubilized from below, but you know, I don't know how it's coming from above. Yeah, so I think it could be.
I find that to be an intriguing observation.
Yeah.
That it would be interesting to see.
Well, they do. They do. They can transport it. So that would be.
Your experiment's not that long.
It's about 4 weeks. Yeah. Yeah.
Would you mind going back to your carbon excess slide, the one that you? So you are finding differences between these spectra. Can you elaborate a little bit on the level of confidence that you have in these differences?
Yeah, these are. I would say I have. Some pretty good confidence in these. These are all taken from the same thin sections from the same at the same time. So really, I'm just looking at differences between them. You know, instead of kind of just differences instead of qualitative or quantitative differences, I guess.
So the green line has more phenolics than any of the black lines.
Yes. Right. So we see higher green at these areas, and then the black is higher here, which is the carboxyl. Yeah.
So maybe we can save that for afterwards. Yeah. Jackie, I know you had a question, but we will move on.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, Moses.